Hey, this is Spencer, producer for Coach Dave Live. Around the 50-minute mark of this podcast, you're going to find a gap in the audio, and I'll interject and fill in the gaps a little bit, but we lost audio for Coach at that point. So we try to fill you in a little bit, and then we jump right back into it. Just want to give you that heads up so you're not caught off guard too much. Anyway, hope you enjoy the show. Be sure to check the show notes for all the links and video illustrations that Coach is talking about during this part. It's regarding flags from the Civil War era, so be sure to check those out. Thanks.
World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I got a confession to make to you today. I crawled in bed last night. It's still daylight. And I kind of felt, I thought, I hope nobody's watching me. I hope my grandkids aren't watching me. But I crawled in at about 8:15, and my wife was already there. A busy weekend. And then I kind of capped it off. Yesterday afternoon, I went golfing. I hadn't golfed. I walked as much as I could as I played golf. We had a car. Went out with my son and our two son-in-laws, and the boys had some fun. But, man, oh, man, I'm telling you, 8:15 – I didn't want to tell Michelle I was ready for bed, and next thing I knew, she was in there. I thought, oh, wow. So I went to sleep when the sun was still up. I'm regathering. Had a busy time. Had a great time, actually, up at we did at Bob Evans. Bob and Tammy went out of the way to make a great event for us. We had, I don't know, probably 25 or 30 of us that showed. We had some new folks that show up. Kim showed up. We just had some new, folks, I'm just telling you, man, fellowship, people are so hungry for fellowship. In fact, Ray LeBlanc was telling me that he's still doing his Zoom call, and you had how many on your Zoom call in Wisconsin last night, Ray? What did you say about that?
Oh, there'd be probably 15, yeah.
And for an hour?
We have about five at our ministry center ourselves, you know. We are our little group, we get together, and five of us congregated, about 10, 11 on the Zoom call.
Because people are hungry, right? They're hungry for fellowship. And you know, there's something
it's informative too.
Yeah, there's something going on. They're really, really, I know we say that a lot, something happening here. There's something going on, folks. There's something going on. I can feel it. Oh, that's another song. I can feel it in the air tonight. Something's going on. And, some of it might be good and some of it might be bad, but I think something is coming to some type of climax or apex or whatever formal term that you would use. And I'm encouraged this morning. I tell people I'm either up or getting up. I don't spend much time laying in that gutter. That doesn't do anybody any good. So a lot of crazy stuff going on. And I just want to just thank Bob and Tammy for the wonderful time we had up. I got some interesting stuff I want to share with you today about that. I want to make this in a general sense, in a not so general sense, kind of a flea flicker Monday, because I know that a lot of people have a lot of things going on. I want to throw some of that stuff on the table. Michelle and I and Chad Estes are heading to Montana this weekend coming up. Big sky country. I'm flying Alaska Air. Never flown Alaska Air. I told Michelle they won't make us wear a mask. We'll see. Alaska Air, Montana, big sky country. Because why? Well, wouldn't you know it, there's a brigade going on up in there. Pretty good one. They got up and running. And Chad had promised them that we would come if we, you know, they ever got one up and running. And so they got a hold of Chad, said, man, we got one. We're ready. And Chad, are you in here? Are you sleeping in this morning?
I'm here, sir.
So Chad, tell me a little bit why we're heading up to Montana. What's going on up there?
Well, we're meeting with Alan Lackey, and they've got a
group that they regularly meet on Mondays, over 100 people every week or so. And anyway, we're going to do a little tactical stuff. We're going to introduce you, Coach, to them again. And that's the whole reason that he started, because he saw you before. And so you were the inspiration of them getting started there. So we wanted to just make a follow-up trip. That's what this is. And so we're going to do a little bit of tactical stuff, and I'll teach that, and then we'll do some a barbecue and all that kind of stuff, and then you'll have a chance to speak up there and stuff. So it's going to be a good time, I think.
Yeah, and, you know, folks, again, you know, when you do what it is I do, and sometimes I can't even explain what that is. We went to Montana about a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago now, with all the COVID stuff, you forget. And we had a little conference out there. I was there, and Bradley Dean was there, and Rob Pugh was there, and Leighton Howerton was there. And really weren't very many people. Only about 10 people probably showed up, went all the way out there. But that was okay. So, you know, you just got to be obedient to do what it is that the Lord calls you to do. Whatever he says, and do you do it? So we went out there and met Alan. I didn't really spend much time with Alan, but, you know, he was energetic, and he wanted to get things going. I said, okay, hey, man, you get it going, and we'll come back. We'll help you get it going. I connected him with Chad, and now they got 100 people that are meeting regularly because, again, folks, it's time, isn't it? Hey, it's time. It's time. Now's the time. And so I just pray that you guys would pray that Michelle and I don't kill each other wearing masks on the plane, or we don't get thrown, pushed out the window or something, because we are unmasked, because a lot of stress. So I'm going to get to some of that today. Some of the stuff we talked about this weekend up at Bob and Tammy's. And Tammy, you know, she broke her leg almost a year ago, and she's finally up moving around with a cane and doing a lot better. And Bob is who he is. And just sure appreciate those folks. Appreciate them so much. I'm trying to figure out where to start here, because I got a million things. I got a lot of things. Let me see. Can I start here? Yeah, I can start here. Yesterday, I want to share this with you folks. Yesterday morning, Bob and whoever was kind of – Bob, you got anything to say? I see you just popped in there, buddy. You got anything to – we didn't leave too big a mess for you up there, did we, Bob?
No, it was great. I think there was around maybe 35.
Yeah.
I didn't get a good – count, but yeah, Tam said maybe about 35. Yeah.
Where people came a long way, you know.
Yeah, new people. Some come from Michigan, Western Ohio, yeah. Pennsylvania.
Yep, and we stayed in the Bob Evans Lodge. I call it the thing he built with his own hands. It's pretty amazing place. So we appreciate all your efforts. But Bob had somebody to show up. Well, let me swing back here. Let me be spiritual on you here for a second, okay? And then I want to show you some other stuff. So Bob and Tammy asked me if I would share yesterday. And you guys know me. I'm about as adverse church as you can be, at least the way we do it, where one guy stands up and talks to everybody for an hour. I hate that. Is it okay? Does anybody else hate that? Is it okay that I say that I hate that? The church was never designed for one man to stand up in front of everybody and give a monologue for 45 minutes. No, it was not ever designed to do that, friends. I'm sorry that that's what church has become. And I think everything is interactive. You learn by doing. One of the things that I tried to share with the people yesterday as we were going through the scriptures, in a true gathering of the saints, when you get together, whether it be in a Zoom meeting, whether it be in a fellowship where everybody's sitting around a circle, which is what we did yesterday around the campfire. I hate to use that term, but Bob had a nice little fire burning for us. See, the Holy Spirit speaks to all of us in different ways. That, to me, that is the – okay, so let me make this, because I did this yesterday, but I think it's important I go back there today. Folks, you understand the difference between an interpretation and a translation. An interpretation and a translation are not the same. And one of the points that I made yesterday in our little Bible study that we had is I don't like it when we all sit around and read from different Bibles, different, dare I say it, interpretations. They're not translations, they're interpretations. See, to translate means Somebody speaks to me in Spanish, and I listen to the words that they say, and I repeat the words exactly as they said them. That is a translation. An interpretation is Rochelle says something to me, and everybody didn't hear it. And I don't have time to say everything she said because I give what my interpretation of what Rochelle had just said. And sometimes, can I tell you the truth? An interpretation is wrong. Now, sometimes an interpretation cracks the window open bigger. Sometimes interpretations can be good. And one of the things that happens to us, I believe, when we get into a church setting and one man is standing up and talking to all of us, giving us his interpretation of the scripture, I'm sitting there in the pew and I'm getting a different interpretation. Somebody give me a thumbs up if you understand what I'm talking about, right? And so the whole idea of everybody gathering together is why? The Bible says everybody, when we get together, one has a song, one has a word, everybody has something. So as you sit around and you do a Bible study, it's not some chief honcho sitting here with the Bible open saying, all right, I'm going to teach you all here today. I have studied the scriptures. I went to seminary. I know hermeneutics and postonumics and postonumics and all kinds of numics. And I'm going to tell you what the scriptures say. Well, that's good. What if you're wrong? What if you're just giving me an interpretation that you learned from Johnny Green Jeans 30 years ago when you were a kid, and you're still hanging on to that same thing Johnny Green Jeans told you 30 years ago, and you've never expanded your understanding, you never expanded your personal belief, you've never walked down that road to where the word opens up deeper to you? To me, that's why so many in the Christian world are so impotent. All they get is what the pastor feeds them on Sunday morning. That's all they get. Well, that's good, but you can't go where he can't take you. And he can't take you where he hadn't been. And I'm using more and more, this makes people nervous. I'm using that Nephilim word more and more because I'm more and more convinced it's real. I use it more and more. And I can't believe the number of people who have, it's like they've been keeping a secret, you know. And you mentioned the Nephilim, and their eyes light up like, wow, somebody else knows about that? Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. I know about it. I don't know if they're coming back. I don't know about that. I don't know where they're buried. I don't know anything about that. Well, ain't no doubt in my mind they were here. I'm talking about it more and more. Say, well, they know. My pastor never talks about it. Well, no, of course not. He didn't talk about it because he went to the seminary of the Church of God in Christ Jesus, and they don't believe it there. So they never taught that to him, right? Anybody know what I'm saying? Give me a thumbs up. You follow me here? And so the whole idea of reading the scriptures, the whole idea of all of us getting together is because why? You have an interpretation, and you have an interpretation, and you have an interpretation. Holy Spirit speaks to you, and you have an interpretation. Not a translation. But the Holy Spirit speaking to you about a scripture that you're reading. As Mark Trump says, you don't read it linearly, you read it deep. What does that scripture mean? As you go deep into that scripture, what's it mean? And so yesterday, as we were sitting around, I took him, if we could do it real quick here, a little Bible study here. And all you guys are all willing and able to chip in here. I want you all to turn to, well, we'll flash it up on the screen, Mark 11. Mark 11. This is a story of Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem. Palm Sunday, we call it, right? And as we got started, you know, I said to everybody, I said, listen, here's what I want you to do. Pick out the real hero of this story. Pick out the real hero, okay? So I'm just trying to give you a real quickie version of what we talked about yesterday. Silver, I can trust you to read because you'll do better than me. So get ready to read there, brother. And just go ahead and start reading. Folks, this is Jesus getting ready to go into Palm Sunday, getting ready to go into Palm Sunday, and he gives some instructions to his disciples. Go ahead, Joe. Start reading that for us.
And when they came nigh to Jerusalem, unto Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples and saith unto them, go your way into the village over against you.
Oh, wait a minute. Stop a minute. So somebody pointed this out. I see. This is why it's so important. I've read this scripture many times, and I never saw this. Joe, what does it mean, go your way into the village over against you? What does that mean, Joe?
Well, it could mean those that harbor people that are against you politically.
Enemy held territory, isn't it, Joe?
Yes.
I had never ever looked at it. When I read that, it said village over against you. I'm thinking, well, the village next door. I thought, he just tells them go to the village next door. But it's deeper than that, isn't it?
Yes.
It's deeper than that. Go into the village that's against you. So he's telling the disciples, go into enemy held territory. So right away, what are they saying? Whoa. What? Right? Okay, we got to follow. Let's keep going, Joe.
And as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, why do ye this?
What are you doing, man? What are you taking my donkey for?
Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met.
Oh, my goodness. That would preach right there, wouldn't it? Where two ways met.
And they loosed him.
Boy. And
certain of them that stood there said unto them, what do ye, loosing the colt?
What are you taking the colt for?
And they said unto them, even as Jesus has commanded.
Wow.
And they let them go.
Well, okay, now I'm going to stop right there. Tell you the rest of the story, know what happens, right? Jesus gets on the donkey. He rides into town, triumphant entry. They're waving palms. They're throwing palms down. They're throwing flowers and all that kind of stuff, right? And so I asked a question yesterday, and I don't want to belabor this because I want to get to something else as well. Who's the hero in this? Who's the unspoken hero in this, in what we just read? Anybody have an opinion? We're allowed to have opinions
donkey.
Here, brother.
The donkey.
The donkey. We don't even know who he is. Right? We don't even know who this donkey is.
What about a donkey that's never been ridden and doesn't buck Jesus off? I mean, it sounds like it was a pretty smooth process.
Hey, Larry, not only that, they're not just going and getting a donkey. They're probably getting this guy's prized donkey. It's never been ridden, right? And so these guys just show up and say, hey, we need that donkey. He said, why? He says, the Lord has need of. Remember, they're in the enemy-held territory. Is the guy who gave him the donkey, is he a secret agent? Is he secretly on the Lord's side? Didn't even put up a fight, did he? But here's the point that I want all of you to get as you read this story and study this and let the Lord speak to your heart. When this whole thing was over and that Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem and the palms, the donkey, when they took that colt, they call him, and they led him back into the, what do they call that place where they let him, stable. Did the donkey walk in there and said, hey, dudes, you ain't going to believe where I was today. I walked into town and people were clapping for me and they were waving palms at me and they were throwing things at my feet. Said, dude, I was the cock of the walk today, baby. Well, did he go back? Silently walk back in, they said, and say to them, you guys ain't going to believe who I carried today. It's all perspective, isn't it? It's all perspective. And so one thing that we have to keep in mind, especially in the times that we are in today, if you won't be the donkey, Jesus can't go. You have to carry him in. And you know what? Throughout all history, they may write that story of you carrying him in, and you will never be identified. They'll never mention your name. They'll never give you any hallelujahs or any props. You won't get a big house on a hill. But your job is to remember this. If you don't go, Jesus can't go. If you don't carry him in, he can't be carried in.
Amen.
You do it with humility. You do it with humility. You're the Lord's servant. You don't worry about everything else that happens around you. I'm going to go to the second verse here in a minute. I'm going to give Joe Allen and Rochelle and Dale a chance to jump in. Come on in, Joe. Got to unmute, bud. I don't know if you are, but we're not hearing it. Rochelle, go ahead, and then we'll wait till he gets ready.
Hi, good morning. I was just I'm sure everybody in this queue knows that. I think it's Zechariah 9. But this riding in on a donkey was also fulfilling prophecy. I can look it up so that Joe can keep reading, but I'll find it. He was prophesied to ride in on a donkey.
I agree with that, Rochelle. I do agree with that. Right. And so the point is this, folks. What if you have been assigned from the very moment of your birth to do something that you don't even know that you're going to do? And it might be anonymous. Nobody may notice it, but it could be a life-changing event to those that you appear before. And it isn't you, it's who you're carrying when you go in. Did you find it, Rochelle? Not putting you on pressure on you. Just raise your hand.
9-9, Zechariah 9-9. Yeah,
rejoice,
I found it.
Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. So it's a full Palm Sunday was the fulfillment of Scripture. Dale, come on in.
John, in the Gospel of John, it says this: if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. Brother, I preached this when you said that. I already said the donkey. I mean, Ray was on it, because the donkey's whole purpose was not that he be seen, but that he would lift up the Son of Man, that mm-hmm. he would be seen by all people.
Amen. Amen. So listen, friends, ministry, true ministry, is about obscurity for the most part. And I don't care who you are. When you start to think you're some high, mighty potentate, you better know this. You ain't nothing special. You're being obedient to the call that the Lord's put on your heart, on your life. You follow it. Whether they notice or whether they don't know, it doesn't matter. Because why? Jesus said, when you get up there, there's going to be a colt waiting for you. And you tell him this. You tell the owner this. And he's going to let you ride on that horse. Psalm 37:23, the very steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in your way. And we had a beekeeper that came, Stephanie, we had a beekeeper that came and did some, do you know that a honeybee stings once and it's dead? You guys know that? One zap and it's dead. Wow. What if we had that attitude? Come on in, Craig, then Paul. I'm going someplace else. Hang with me.
Oh, Coach. This is really, really, really deep. He opened a great thing that I've looked into. This is about the donkey. Remember what Balaam the prophet was riding on? It was a donkey. And if you go to all three different accounts of this story of the colt, if you go to Matthew, it actually talks about the donkey and the colt. Mm-hmm. The mother and the colt, but all the other ones just talk about the colt, okay? But this is very interesting because this talks about the firstborn. This goes back into the scriptures here, and I want to read this from Exodus 13:11, and it's called the law of the firstborn, okay? And from number 11 here, it says, "And it shall come to pass when the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, as he swore to you and your fathers, and gives it to you, that you shall set apart for the Lord all that open the womb, that is every firstborn that comes from an animal which you have, the male shall be the Lord's." But notice this, it differentiates between the donkey. It says, "But every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb." So all the other animals you don't have to redeem. But a donkey, you have to bring in a lamb. Wow. And if you will not redeem it, then you shall break its neck. That means you're going to, if you don't want to bring a lamb, you got to break the neck of the donkey. That's pretty strange. But where strange things are, are very deep things in the scriptures. And all the firstborn of man among your sons shall redeem. So it shall be when your son asks you in time to come, saying, what is this that you shall say to him? It says, by the strength of the hand of the Lord that brought us out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And it came to pass when Pharaoh was stubborn about letting us go, that the Lord killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast.
So Jesus came in on a donkey because they were carrying him. He was being carried in to carry them out of bondage.
That's right. This is all tied in Zechariah 9:9. And if you and this is a little nugget, and you can find it and see if it's true for yourself. Wherever you see donkey in the Old Testament, look at the church. Wherever you see oxen, it's kind of a like a subset word for the Hebrews. So there's always a little association with Christ with a donkey, and there's always a little bit of association with oxen in the Hebrews and the Jews.
And isn't it amazing, Craig, that everybody got to make a decision or a choice except the donkey? Nobody asked him if he wanted to go. No one asked him if it was okay to put the Lord on him or not. He just knew that it was his purpose to do it, right? Everybody
And the other part of it is, Coach, is he didn't ride on the mother, right? He didn't ride on the oldest. He rode on the youngest. This thing where the last shall be first and the first shall be last.
Stop that. When you stop doing that stuff, will you? See, folks.
And everybody knows that from the Old Testament, donkeys can talk. He could have said, I don't want to go.
Yeah. See, this is Bible, folks. This is Bible interpretation. And isn't it amazing how the Lord gives everybody, not everybody, but most of us, a different perspective? And that's my problem with church. Sometimes I'm in church and the pastor, whoever it is saying something. And I want to say, wait a minute. Here's where it's gone. Because, see, he already has his mindset about where he's gone. And I read it, or like Craig just did. Craig said, Coach, that's good what you just said, but you missed this, right? You get a chance to do that in a church setting? That's why people are blind, deaf, and dumb. We don't get an opportunity to openly permit the Holy Spirit to speak through you rather than some guy spoon-feeding you what he thinks it says. And he may be right. It probably does say what he says, but there's more to it. That's what we miss. Paul, come on in. Then Randy.
Hey, everybody. I don't know, just analogy kind of came to me. The donkey represents like a long snapper in football. You know, that guy goes out there and practices every day, gets beat up. But if he doesn't do his thing, then that winning field goal will never take place.
Paul, they don't even know who he is unless he screws up.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He gets a bad snap. Everybody wants to know, who's that long snapper? Who's the sinner? But if he's out there snapping it every time and they're kicking extra points and field goals, they never mess up. Nobody knows who he is. Good catch, Paul. Go ahead, Randy.
Yeah, Coach, you talk about reading it deep. Another aspect we can look at is when King David in 1 Kings, there was a split, getting ready to be a split. Well, David was about to die, and one king or son wanted to be, he was in rebellion. He wanted to be king, but Solomon had already, God had spoken and said, Solomon's going to be king. So they had to get a plan to make this happen, and they did. So long story short, David told the priest and the prophet. You notice that. Now, that's important. But he told him to go get Solomon, anoint him, and put him on his mule and ride him down the mountain into Gihon Springs, which was the bottom down there. It's exactly where Jesus trod when he rode in the triumphal entry. So this is a type and shadow. He was trying to show his people, the Jews, this is your king. They missed it. A lot of them missed it. Now look, Coach, there was a lot of them on the other side of Israel, of Jerusalem. They were watching. Here comes Pilate riding in on a steed, a stallion, with all the Romans, and there was no one there. So you have the two choices here. You've got Jesus coming riding in on through the Mount of Olives there on a little donkey, humility, nothing prestigious, and then you've got the world system coming in on the other side. You know, oh, this is what we're seeing today, Coach. It's a very good picture. We can choose the world system, which is just high and mighty and everything like that, or we can choose to serve and to be certain to make Jesus king. It's one or the other.
Yeah, isn't it amazing, Randy, that Jesus didn't demand a limo? He said, "Wait, give me a stallion here. Don't give me that old donkey." No, he didn't do that, right? And Stephanie just texted me something that's really profound. Did you guys know this? Did you know about 75% of all abortions are firstborn children? Did you guys know that? Wow, huh? Wow. Let me shift gears with you here real quickly. I'll get to you, Rochelle. I'll get to you. I want to get this in, though, because I think it's important. I don't know how many of you were able to catch JR's show on Saturday morning. He had Pastor Art Pulaski on, and I wasn't able to catch it live, but yesterday coming home, I listened to it. And it's I'm posting it at our website. Pastor Art said he would come on with us. JR beat us to the punch, did a good. JR was better for the interview because he shut up and let Pastor Art talk. I'd have been interrupting the whole time, so it worked out pretty good. But I want you to listen. I want you to see a donkey, okay? This is what I want you to see. That this is, you guys know who he is, right? He's a pastor in Canada that was hauled off and arrested and all that kind of stuff. And it's a fascinating interview, and he's telling the story. But starting about the last about 5 or 6 minutes of the show, JR just let Pastor Art talk like I probably wouldn't have. And he says the most profound stuff here. I want you to remember this guy came from, was it Poland, JR, or wherever he, where?
Poland.
Yeah. So he's seen all this stuff happen, right? He's seen it all. But I want you to listen to his personal evaluation of what's going on right now with the Lord. Go ahead and put that I think I said 1.75. Maybe you can put it at 1.5 because it, he talks slow enough you'll be able to understand it. So this is about 5 or 6 minutes here. Just listen to this. Go ahead.
Now, a lot of people are disillusional. They see that their leaders are cowards. They have betrayed them. They see that they're not working for them anymore. They're not working for God. And they want a replacement. That's why our church was packed, because people want to see a real deal. Oh, do you believe in this Bible? Okay, let me see it that you actually do. Who do you work for? Do you work for God or for the government? I mean, who is your boss? Who are you listening to? Who are you working for? So I see a huge change. I think God is shakening the church. I think he's purifying the church. I think that what he's doing, he's separating the sheep from the goats and the sheep from the wolves. I see what God is doing right now. He is showing all of us who is the real deal, who is the real shepherd, and who is just a hired gun. So I say to you, as bad as this will sound, of course, after my experience, what is happening, it's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. Because the church was so apathetic and uninterested, selfish, self-centered for so long, that God says, I'm going to spew you out. You people are pathetic. This is not my church. I want my church to be glorious, because in the Bible, it says that Jesus is coming back. But he's coming back for what? He's coming back for a glorious church. And what we see right now is not a glorious church. It's some kind of a hybrid between religion and corporation. It's a business. The church has become a business. Yes. It has very little to do with Jesus and sacrifice and feeding the poor and preaching the gospel and going into all the world and you know, preaching the good news. It has more to do with motivational speaking and entertainment and raising funds. That's pretty much how the church is looking right now. So God is purifying. He's intensifying the fire. And oh boy, I feel the fire. Even now sitting, I feel the fire. He is intensifying the fire. It's hot. But when he's done, all of us are going to be pure gold. And you know the beauty about purifying the gold I found is that when you have the purest form of gold, you can see your reflection in that gold. Ooh. And is that not a beautiful thing? Because God wants to have a church that reflects him. Yeah. In everything we do. Of course, we'll never be perfect. Only God is perfect. But at least we have to strive towards that perfection. And I think God is saying to you and to me, are you ready? I'm coming back. But I want my church to rise up and be the light in the darkness, to be salty. Because if the salt loses its saltiness, it's useless. It's good for nothing. And will be trampled by whom? By men. And is what is happening right now? Is not men trampling on the salt?
Have you ever considered preaching?
I was thinking about that, you know, once or twice.
I think you got the gift. I think you got the gift. Don't you, Mr. Anderson? I love it. I don't want to keep you much longer. I appreciate your time, brother. I appreciate what you're doing. The last 3 minutes, what you said is, I mean, that is golden.
Amen. You can cut it off right there, right? Folks, listen, folks, there's something about this, and JR, I'll let you comment here in a second. A victorious church. Jesus is coming back for a victorious church. Do we see that? Do we see that now? And we see, we like to brag about how we do virtue signaling, about how righteous we are and all that stuff. Hey, folks, can I tell you something? Church ain't winning. Folks, look at me. The church isn't winning. The church isn't winning. The church isn't winning. He's coming back for a victorious church. You say, well, we win in the end. Well, that's good, but he's not coming back for a church that wins in the end.
Coach, I got something to say on that. Joseph.
Go ahead.
My wife and I visited one of these new wave churches this weekend. And we went there, and it's about 1,000 people there in this church. Lot of kids. And what he just said happened to Carol and I, you know, is all about the entertainment. When he did his sermon, it was about faith. And he read out of 3 or 4 different versions of the Bibles to the King James Version. He said when he met towards the King James Version, he said the other version. So you're right. Interpretation is unbelievable. Where our kids are going to these new wave churches is all about the entertainment. Nothing about God. It's all about the interpretation.
Well, they don't know what else to do because the supernatural is going out of the church. Let me make a point here right now. Okay, let me make a – because Joseph just touched on something, and I want to make sure I cover my tracks on this one regarding interpretations, okay? So pull up – I'd throw anything up there in King James, okay, Spence? I don't care what it is. Just throw a King James version up there. And let's say just stop right there. I can do all things through Christ which strengthen me. Notwithstanding, you've done well that you did communicate with my affliction. That's King James. So I said, okay, I get that. I wonder what the NIV says. So now I'm going to go to the NIV, and I'm not reading the NIV to be critical. I'm hoping maybe the NIV gives me a deeper understanding, right? I wonder how many of you people, I sounded awful, sound like, what was that guy's name? You people. Then my brain. I wonder how many of you folks, how many of you read the NIV who never read the King James? Why don't you read the King James? Why are you stuck on the NIV? So we just read it. I'm not saying this. What verse was it? It says the same thing. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. So it gives you a different view on it. And then you have to decide whether or not it's true or not true. But friends, if we don't get, I'm not a King James only guy, right?
But this is confusion.
What's that?
To me, it was confusion.
It's confusion. When we're all sitting around reading out a different verse, it's confusion. Unless I turn and say, hey, Joseph, what does your version, what do you have, Joseph, and what does it say? And you say, well, I have the Message Bible. The Message? Spencer, pull up the Message. What does it say? And so there I'm sitting there, I'm a semi-Christian anyway, and I'm doing a Bible study, and I got 10 different things the Bible said. You follow me? I think this is critical. I'm glad. Where is that? I'm do all things through Christ. I'm glad in God for happier than you would ever guess. Happy that you're again showing such great concern for me. Not that you ever quit praying and thinking about me. You just had no chance to show. Actually, I don't even know where it is. I can do all things. Does anybody know where it is? Where does it say that I can do all things through Christ's strength? Does anybody see it? It isn't there, is it? It isn't there. So that's why I'm such a putz when it comes to telling that kind of stuff. I like the other interpretations. Sometimes I'll read the Message because I'll say, man, I never looked at it that way. All right. But that's just somebody's interpretation of what it said. Eugene Peterson, I think was his name. It was his interpretation of it. It's kind of cool. But that ain't the Word of God.
But there were hundreds of children drawn to that, Coach.
Yeah.
Hundreds.
We want them. We want to make it understandable to them, right? They can understand it. Come on, MPA, Brett. Then Bob Roy.
Yeah, Coach. Coach, thanks. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
So we were a little family gathering over the weekend and did a Sunday morning worship yesterday morning and decided to do the Romans 13 for the family about the government. Well, if you use the NIV, that translation talks, it is all about the civil government. It's not about what Dr. John Diamond teaches and so on.
Romans 13, Spencer, the NIV, pull it up. Go ahead. Keep going,
yes,
Brad.
Sir. And so after I got done reading, I said, wait a minute. That's not what we just learned. So I went to the King James Version, and there, that interpretation.
Wow.
Yeah, big difference. That's all I got. Thanks, Coach.
Let everyone be some governing authorities. Is that unbelievable? See, so if you're reading this every Sunday in church, you're going to obey the government, right? What's King James say about that, Spence? What's Jimmy say? He said, let every soul be subject to the higher powers. That ain't government, is it, John Diamond? Somebody help me out here. I don't think that's government. So you see, go ahead, John.
Yeah, I mean, the King James Version, that 1611, was commissioned by the king and his posse so that they could use the scripture to teach the divine right of kings, that God put me here and you have to obey me because the Bible says you have to or you're going to receive damnation. So that entire section, if you Google 1611 and read the preface before the first scripture even verses, before the first word of God is even spoken, there's a section this big that says, okay, this is what this is telling you. This is going to tell you, you have to obey the government. So yeah, we've got a lot of reworking to do. Me and you talked on the way back from Tennessee that there's a new reformation coming. And since we talked, I said, you know what? I could sit down and probably write another 95 theses just like Martin Luther King did. And ever since that time, boy, the Lord's just been giving me all these little bullet points of where the Christian church is off the rails. And that list just keeps growing. So there's a new move coming, and the old wineskins are going to get left behind.
Amen. Boy, I've opened a can of worms here. Everybody wants to get in here and talk. And I had something else I wanted to share. Remember, I've been working all day on this sermon. Why would you guys interrupt me and ask questions? I got to finish my sermon. Go ahead, Victory Haven. Go ahead, whoever. That's probably Vinny with a new name.
Naomi.
Naomi. You know, Victory. Victory.
Yeah, Victory Haven. Yes. So I was looking at Philippians 4. With message, and now my phone has decided to go to sleep, so let me get it back up here. And the verses 13 and 14 in Philippians 4, I saw here that it says, I can make it through anything in the one who makes me who I am. I don't mean that your help didn't mean a lot to me. It did. It was a beautiful thing that you came alongside me in my troubles. So to me, in the journey that I've been, that gives me another perspective that speaks to me. So
that's right. That's right. It's an interpretation, though, folks. Okay? Interpretation. Silver, come on in, then Dale, then Jim. Rochelle, did you want back in, or did you forget to take your hand down? Okay, I'll get you in here. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Silver.
Luke 2:14. Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill toward men.
Pretty simple.
NIV. Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, on whom his favor rests. Catholic Bible. Peace on earth. To men of goodwill.
Yeah, boy.
Three completely different statements.
You can make that thing say whatever you want to say.
That's right.
Interpretation. Dale, come on in. Then Jim.
Well, amen. First, I want to finish what
what Silver just read, when you read that in the Gospel of Luke, he goes on to say, peace on earth and goodwill towards men in whom he is pleased. See, we don't want to read that part, because then the question arises, is whom is the Lord pleased with?
Now, that's right.
Now listen to this, brother. I preached out of Daniel chapter 2, 3, 4, and 5, right, brother? Overlaying that, where we're at with the mask mandate, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you better bow down and you better put your mask on, or we're going to stoke up the fire, right? So obviously Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refuse to obey the king's edict, and they get thrown in the fire. The king sees them there. They're burned, not burned, nothing, not their hair. But listen to what it says in Daniel chapter 3, right, 28. Nebuchadnezzar responds and says, because he sees them now, come on out, boys. Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Remember, it was the king's edict. Bow down and worship and put your mask on, people. He said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants who put their trust in him and violated the king's command. Brother, listen to that. The very, you mean to wait a minute. Now, Romans 13 just got shredded on this. You mean to tell me we don't obey when these things violate the word of the Lord, brother?
Amen. Simple.
From the king himself who made the command.
So Dale, here's me. If I go into church and the guy's reading the NIV, I leave. I'm just telling you. I don't mind somebody reading it, but teaching from the NIV, sorry. We see what can happen. Jim, come on in. Then David, so Arthur.
The word of ecclesia is called out one, and it was mistranslated into church, where the called out.
There you are.
That's how you made announcements in a Greek town. You know, they were doing ecclesia, and so the King James, though, as they translated that into church, it was to have more control of those meetings.
Mm-hmm.
It was to have just a gathering of an organized, structured thing that the Roman church could control. But the ecclesia were the called out to follow.
Amen, God, brother. Amen. Yes, sir. It ain't the church, is it? It ain't the church. David, come on. David Arthur, then Roger.
Yeah, I just wanted to tell you a story, and only because Pastor D reminded me of it when he said about complying to the mask mandate. So I went into the Cumberland Farms, and they have a sign on the door, you know, no mask, no service. So I didn't wear a mask because I was just going to the bathroom. They weren't going to stop me from going to, you know, go to the bathroom. So there's a guy standing in the line, big dude, big beard, big burly Mainer, standing in line with no mask on, and a couple guys in front of him, and employee comes up and says, "Master, sir, do you need a mask?" He says, "For what?" And he said, "Well, no one will wait on you if you don't have a mask on." And the guy in front of him, another customer, turns around and says, "Man, why don't you just put the blanket mask on?" So this big burly guy looks at this dude and says, "Why don't you just pull down your pants, bend over that counter, and let me blank, blank, blank you in the blank, 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 because that's what you're letting the government do." And I was frozen. Wow. Everybody in that store looked. Three people walked out, took their masks off, and walked out. And I was just sitting there like, wow. That's what everybody's doing. They are bending over for the government.
Amen. Well, David, he wasn't very Christian, or he would have never used that language. So
I'll tell you what, I couldn't wait to tell that story. I called everybody I knew.
Hey, come on in, Roger.
Oh, I can't follow that one. I'm done.
Well, you can try.
That is wonderful, David. The only thing I always felt that the different translations were really meant because they didn't think the people could understand the most recent one.
Right, that's right.
That they had to keep on breaking it down, so us dummies could understand it. And I do believe a lot of the breakdown misinterpreted original thought and wording, but to me it was always about, let's get this so that people can understand it. And I think one thing about the King James, whether you love it or hate it, it does require the word study. Mm-hmm. I think we put too much emphasis on I'm reading the Bible versus maybe I need to study and study that word that I've got a little bit of trouble with.
Amen. That's exact. Again, I don't mind the different interpretations, right? I don't mind them because they open you up. But to you, I'm sorry to use something other than the King James to teach from, folks. That's how we got the soft gospel that we have right now in so many churches.
Well, my opinion. Dave, look at the church the last 30 or 40 years with all these interpretations. It's become so much stronger, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. We've been bending over for the government, right, Arthur? David, bending over for the government. That's what we're doing. Okay, speaking of that, listen, I know some of you want to get in here. I'm sorry, bear with me a second, because I got blown away this weekend at Bob Evans's. Okay, I'm going to shift gears on it. Sorry, take it up in the after show if we have to here. We had a guy named Kelly. Bob had this gentleman that he knows who does like Civil War reenactments, that kind of stuff. And he brought with him all of the different flags that were flown during the Civil War. Okay. If you can click on it, it says flag presentations, Spencer. Flag presentations. And so Kelly put out into the yard, like, I don't know how many, 15 different flags. And he said, this flag here is from the regiment of Northern Michigan. And this one here is from the regiment of, and it went down through all, see if you can scroll down a little bit.
Hey folks, this is where we lost audio for Coach. So he was just pointing out that the Confederate flag was based on St. Andrew's cross, which is an X shape that he was crucified on. So be sure to check out the links in the description so that you can see the illustrations that Coach is talking about. And we're just going to jump right back into it.
Flag was a cross. Now, wait a minute. See, they did it this way because they wanted to separate from the Church of Scotland, which had a cross. And they wanted it to look like that, but they wanted to differentiate between it. And they gave us the cross of St. Andrews. And hopefully Spencer's going to be able to show it. Or, yeah, he's going to get it. Here it comes. The cross of St. Andrews. Did you guys scroll down a minute? Look at that. Back up, Spencer. Look at that, boys. And up, right there. Make that bigger. Did you guys know that? Did you know that that was the cross of St. Andrew? Did you know that the Southern flag was a representation of the crucifixion of St. Andrew? I had no idea. It had nothing to do with slavery. It had everything to do with righteous government and the right of free men to govern themselves. That's what it was. Anybody know that? Don't act like you're real smart. Say, yeah, I knew that. No, you didn't.
Hey, Coach, that's why I'm sorry to butt in, but that's why if you read the text of Andrew Jackson's First Brigade speech, in that speech, two times he references, he quotes, he says, this is our second war of independence.
Mm.
That's how they looked at it. And the other thing, too, was that Charles Jennings did a presentation, and he talked about how revival broke out among the Confederates. And he attributes the strong Christian faith in the South to that revival, those revivals that took place.
It's unbelievable, right? The winners write the history. Isn't that what they tell us? The winners write the history. And they have made the Southern flag about slavery, and it wasn't about that at all.
Hey, Coach. Can I interrupt real quickly?
Yeah.
1.4% of Christian households held slaves. You can't say that slavery had anything to do with the South at all. It's just a bunch of nonsense.
Well, of course, it's we know what it is, right? We know exactly what it is and what's going on with it. Oh, my goodness. I only got 4 minutes left. Do I want to do that? Yeah, I want to do that real quickly. Okay, I want to finish on it. I know some of you want to get in. I'm sorry. Go to, it says whatever things. Because I shared this one when we were done yesterday, Sunday morning at Bob Evans. Not the restaurant. This came into my mind. Philippians 4. Scroll on down, Spence, if you can. And here's what I said, shared with everybody. I want you all to think about it here. We love to come in here every day and we love to talk about all the bad things that are going on in the world. And they're doing this and they're doing that and they're doing this and they're doing that and they're doing this and they're doing, right? Well, we do that all. I'm the worst one. And I walk away and I think I shared with you last week, I saw a study that says 80% of thoughts of people have are negative. 80%. And why are 80% of the thoughts negative? Well, we constantly fill ourselves with it, repeat it over and over and over and over. We're told in Philippians chapter 4. In fact, Spencer, go to 1. Go to verse 1. Go to verse 3. Go ahead, Joe. Go ahead and read that for me. Verse 3. Philippians 4, verse 3.
And I entreat thee also, ye true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand.
At hand, folks, means imminent. It means imminent, not coming back, imminent. The Lord's at hand. He's imminent. Go ahead, Joe.
Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God.
And what happens if you do that, Joe?
The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
And finally, Joe.
Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do.
Do!
And the God of peace shall be with you.
Man, oh man, oh man, oh man. So I get up this morning like I always do. I'm so glad today I got 8 fingers and 2 thumbs. I got a nose and 2 eyes and 2 ears. I got short little legs. I got a healthy immune system. I don't have cancer. I don't have diphtheria. I don't have diarrhea. I got so many things today when I get up that I can be thankful for. And I encourage you to do this, what I said to people yesterday morning. The first thing you do when you get up in the morning is you thank God for all the great stuff that you got. Oh, my grandchildren are healthy. We're working on a triple header. I got so many great things. And then do this. Pick up your cell phone and encourage somebody. Because you cannot be discouraged while you're encouraging somebody else. Text them. Call them. Email them. Appreciate you, brother, praying for you to die. I know you're carrying a heavy load. I got you, man. I got your back. I'm with you, brother. Encourage one another. If there be any virtue and any praise, think on these things.
Hey, Coach, real quick, Ricky update. They took the tube out over the weekend. He's eating. Connie got to sit by his bed yesterday and sing Blessed Assurance, and he had a little tear come down his face.
Ricky's on his way home, man. Pray for my Keith. Pray for my Keith. He's kicking against the pricks. Hey. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. God bless you. We'll see you.
Amen. We'll see you.